All right, welcome back to the Crease Dive. Today is Thursday, April 4th. My name is Dukes, joined by me, as always, for this year, intern Matthew Nestler. Nest, how's it going? How's your weekend? How's your week? How you be?
Pretty good. Easter weekend with the fam. Got to see a lot of the fam, which is always good. Got to see some of the original Cabrini boys this weekend. So chopped up some lacrosse. Watch some good lacrosse, and now I get to recap it all with Mr. Dukes. So I can't complain here. How you feeling, Dukes? How was your weekend?
It was great. Great little weekend. Nice little day on Saturday. Some great college basketball all around the board. Some losers, some winners. End of the weekend strong. No complaints. Some good games, a little college lacrosse world. It's really starting to heat up. I mean, once like this week kind of ends, it's in full force. Like you're kind of looking at like the final month, I think is so fun. Rolling into like conference tournaments, this is one of my favorite times of the year. It's time to lock in on those Saturdays. You finally get like the full ESPN slots. It's almost like college across in our world kind of takes over. I don't like the MLB. If the Red Sox aren't good, I don't watch baseball. So I'll have a beer at Citi Field any day of the fucking week. Fuck the Yankees. But, you know, I just truly love this time of year. I say it every year, I feel like, but it's the time of year this weekend, not this weekend, shitty weather, but like next weekend when it's 69 degrees out, perfect weather, and you just get the TV out. TV outside, a little white trash, like pregame, drinking with the boys, having like the extension cords going, and just setting up shop, watching lacrosse, nothing better. But, yeah, great weekend. I'm excited for the games this weekend. Some great games last night. As we're recording this, it's Wednesday, April 3rd. But I guess we'll just hop into things. Anything stand out to you this weekend, Ness, that you would love to talk about first? You steal this one.
One thing that stood out to me the most was we got a game-winning goalie goal from one of the top programs in the nation in a massive tilt. I'm sure we'll dive into it more, but it's rare you see a goalie goal of that caliber in that time of a game between two teams of that kind of magnitude. Yes, talking about the Virginia goalie. Did they score two more goals after that? Yes, but it goes in the book, game-winning goal. That was special. As a goalie, I am obsessed with goalie goals. A lot of them can be trash. You know, they're late in games. Maybe you're beating up on a team. But to see a guy go coast to coast, you know, on a Saturday, just in that game when they were losing by that much, it brought a big smile to my face. So, shout out Matthew Nunes, great.
Yeah, that's a Matthew Nunes experience right there. Is he plays so well? You're like, this is a championship level goalie, and then you'll see him in 2 weeks playing like fucking Notre Dame, and you're like, where did he forget how to play goalie? It's a wild roller coaster ride. It's tough to be a Matthew Nunes guy sometimes. If you just stick yourself to being a Matthew Nunes guy, the roller coasters up and downs that you'll see throughout a year is crazy. But what a moment. What a goal. What a game for the kid. I mean, seriously, yeah. I think he I've said this maybe on this podcast 5 times. He shut up the haters, and then I become a hater once again. But he's a guy that I do root for. Seeing that goal as a goalie that always used to take it up the field, try to score, get some assists. Love to see it. I hate how they call that a game-winning goal. It's not. There's 5 minutes left.
No.
I'm not even going to let this slip by. It's the biggest fucking horse of shit. It's the biggest crock of shit of all time. It's not a game-winning goal. It's not like you're – like, I'd say a game-winning goal has to be a minute 30 or less.
But what if
I'm not even going to lie. A minute 30 is, like, almost too much for me as well. Like, what if – give them –
go ahead.
You give them like an 80-second shot clock. Anything over an 80-second shot clock should not count as a game-winning goal.
What if Virginia hadn't scored again the rest of the game and that game ends?
Doesn't matter.
You still that's still not a game winner?
No.
So yours is a time thing. Like yeah, it has to be at the end.
So if you score the game-leading goal with 2 minutes left in the second quarter, nobody scores the rest of the game. Is that a game-winning goal?
I mean, I'm certainly sitting at the dinner table saying, hey, I scored the game. If that's me, I'm saying I scored the game-winning goal in the second quarter.
But, like, if you came on the bus and you were my teammate and you were like, oh, I scored the game winner, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's fucking hilarious. But if you're dead serious, like, dude, that wasn't, like, the game-winning goal. That was, like, Wally. Yeah. Thank God he scored that goal in the second quarter. That led to us winning the game. But like, especially the fact that they scored two goals after that.
Yeah.
He took the goal, got you the lead. Like, wow, like Matthew Noon scores to give the Cavs the lead with like when it comes down to crunch time. Fine. But he scored two goals after that. Fucking bullshit. I don't know. I thought that was
I'll give you this, Dukes. I'll give you this. It's hard to argue your point because you make a good point with the, like, is it really a game-winning goal? I just compare it a little bit to a little hot. It's the hockey and lacrosse there where it's like if you score that last goal, it's going to go down as a game winner. I'll keep saying it, and now I know if I say it, that goal
No. Hockey, okay, let's talk about this then because hockey is like I think that you could say in like soccer and hockey where it's like you average less than six goals a game. It's like six or less right now.
So if you score the first period in hockey and there's a two-period shutout, that's a game winner?
I would respect that more than a sport where you average like 17 goals a game.
Yeah. I guess it's hard to argue with you. I'm not like you. Yeah, I know
because I'm making too much sense.
I know. Whatever. I know. I'm with you. I mean, I hear you.
Just because the show is all over the place, I just want to touch on this really, really fast. In the PLL news, probably like the only real PLL news. Bill Tierney, head coach of the Water Dogs, the Philly Water Dogs. What do you think of the hire? Do you think this is kind of like is he ready to coach adults, pros? Coming from the college level, obviously one of the greatest coaches of all time. How does he fit into the Water Dogs culture?
I'm not comparing these two coaches, but reminds me a little bit of Stagnita making that jump from college to pro. I think Stagnita is a good pro coach. I think you sort of realize you can take your – there's a lot less responsibilities for a pro coach than a college coach. And I think as you get older, you probably want less responsibility. It's a different coaching style, but I'm sure a guy like Tierney, who's been around the game for as long as he has been, can sort of be like, hey, listen, I know I don't need to coach these guys like college kids, and can kind of tone it almost back, but then also push it forward in ways where he's not going to be as hands-on maybe with certain college kids. The teams are smaller. He's used to coaching 50, 60 guys. Now I'm at a PLL practice. I'm not sure how many practice squad guys they have, but I know it's probably right around that 30 number total. So nope. I think he'll be great. I mean, he's had way too much success to come in and just like suck. I mean, I think we all know that's not going to happen. I would like to keep an eye on how the relationship between him and the players. I think the level of respect will kind of be there and make it easy. So we'll see. And the Water Dogs are a top team every year. So he's coming in like kind of loaded. You know, he's not coming in and picking up a team that hasn't been to the finals or hasn't been to the semis. He's picking up a team that's quite literally probably been the most dominant team, them and the Whipsnakes, the last 4 years overall.
Chaos.
It's kind of those three, I feel like, almost every year. And then you're the Cannons shooting up the horn last year.
The disrespect to the Archers is crazy.
The district, yeah. I mean, the Archers are the champs.
All right, so yeah, here's my thing. It's a good hire from when you look at it as you're getting one of the best coaches of all time. Obviously, I mean, five national championships, absolutely owned the '90s. Went to Denver, started up their program, turned it into a wagon. 2015 national champs. The history of the resume speaks for itself. Now, here's where I stand. One, beginning like. You got the one factor where it's like you got Ethan Walker on the team, you got a bunch of Canadians, you got Jack Hanna. So you have two Denver guys that you've coached and that probably would like love to have him back coaching them. You have a bunch of Canadians that probably he knows how to coach, or I'm just putting my brain together. Denver Canadians, they probably just get along. But is this almost like remind you for another sport? It's when the White Sox hired the Cardinals manager, Tony La Russa, who was like 90 years old, Hall of Fame manager, and tried to come in the age of analytics and absolutely failed. My thing is just like, I don't know if you get like an old school coach to coach a bunch of guys that are adults and coaches in their own right. Tell them like, it's it's a very intriguing situation to monitor because the Water Dogs have something very good right now. And I don't want to say I'm doubtful, but I'll keep my eye on things.
Do you
think it's not like a Pressler situation? Like, I think Pressler, going from college to high school where you're like dictating kids, telling them what to do, talking down, doing that to pros does not work. I'm sure Bill Tierney's been around enough where he like understands that, but just a concern to monitor, I think, from my point of view.
Do you think a lot of it will come down to how hands-on he really is, whether he's sort of going to be – I think it's going to come down to the level of, you know, hands he's putting on the team. How involved is he? Is he, like you said, is he going to be getting on guys' ass over little things? Is he going to be talking to guys like they're 18, 19 years old? If he cannot do that stuff, I think he'll have a lot of success. I'm interested if you think, is it almost like when you get to the pro level, you do less like monitoring and just more coaching, which I feel like is easier for him. You kind of
right. I mean, I don't know. It's like, will he change up the offensive system? Will he change up the defensive system?
Yeah.
Will he switch up like faceoffs? Like Copeland was really good at managing the personalities on the team. Copeland was really good at designing what they were really good at. Now you're uphauling the entire coaching staff that was with the championships that they've won, and you're instilling something new. I mean, there's just a lot of factors that I'm sure, like, this could also be like I send one text message and somebody on the Water Dogs is like, yeah, you're out of your mind. Like, we're going to be fine. He's not going to change anything on the offense. He knows what's work. He's just there to keep it going. I don't know what's going on. Like, I, as a podcaster, have to bullshit over this for 3 minutes, giving you every scenario that I'm thinking about. So, yeah, I'm a little worried, but at the end of the day, I do think it cements him. If he wins a championship, it cements him as the greatest coach of all time, bar none, because you're coaching college kids, and then you go to the pros. Like, let me see. I want to see one little research fact right here. I want to see his little Wikipedia. Like, has he won a gold medal as, like, a head coach? I'm sure. I want to say he has.
I feel like he must.
Right? Yeah.
Especially back in the early 2000s.
Hmm. Wow.
I
don't know if he has.
As a head, has he been part of the coaching staff, but he wasn't the head, or has he not been a part of any?
I don't think he's okay. 2010 national championship. He played on a national championship team at Cortland State, so he won a national championship. U.S. men's national. In 1998, Tierney coached the U.S. Men's National Team to the International Lacrosse Federation World Championship. So he did, but it wasn't like – I guess that counts. We'll count it. Count it and one.
Yeah, all right. Then he's got one, he's chasing one more.
Yeah.
Just a quick on the Tierney family. Ryan Tierney, PLL player. I know he remembers this. Eighth grade, Matthew Nessler got him ejected from a tournament. Not kicked out of the game, ejected from the tournament. He baseball swung, hit me in the nuts because we were chirping a little bit. Didn't hurt at all.
What team were you on?
This was a club team. I was leading edge. I think he was coming from Long Island. I think he grew up in Long Island.
Yeah, I was on his team. I was on that team. I can't believe that was you. I remember that moment like vividly.
You were on that team? It was down in Pennsylvania at Episcopal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Flopped. He definitely took a massive shot at my nuts, but I've told
this dude story. I remember that vividly.
That's crazy. Yeah, no, that was me. And Kirstie was the other goalie. We waxed.
That's hilarious. Guys. No, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was before. I mean, I remember he did that one time. Maybe
yeah,
it was seventh
grade.
The
only reason I really remember is because of his uncle Bill Tierney, and they were like, that's Bill Tierney's nephew. And we were so young, I was like, oh, like the coach at Denver, blah, blah, blah. Like, I didn't know how much of a legend Tierney was at the time. But as I got older and he went pro, I was like, that's the dude who hit me in the nuts.
Yeah, if it was seventh grade, we played together. We played together from second to seventh.
And then it might have been seventh or eighth, but he – I
doubt you. I'm going to say you definitely didn't beat us.
No, we totally did. But, yeah, what team was it?
Raiders?
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Yeah, I mean, it could have been a little older. I'll have to ask Kirst because when Kirst played with him, I had
yeah, because we lost the last year we were together. We were like, I'm not even kidding. Like we were so good when we were younger. I was like the only kid not to go D1. It was hilarious. It was like we won every single game. Like we didn't lose for the first like 2 years we played together.
And then
the last year it crumbled, but not crumbled.
That was like leading edge. We sent like 16, 17 kids D1. Me and a couple of my buddies went D3, and we were just like the outlaws on the team, like the FedEx of the group.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I think I kind of remember that. That's hilarious.
We'll double check.
Yeah, it might have been. I mean, I definitely think that he did that. Great guy, though.
Good guy. Great guy.
All right, let's get into a little bit of what happened over the weekend. Speaking of cursed, Cornell comeback win last night against Syracuse. Big one. Kirstie game winner. Got anything to add to that? I mean, this is your time. I just said cursed. It's like you say Voldemort shows up. You say cursed, Matthew Nessler shows up. So what's going on?
Just to be clear, Bill Spolina podcast. Shout out to Joy Spolina. I'm on. Cursed. He shows up when his team needs him. He's your guy's guy, goes right to the goalie to celebrate. I think he went 5-1, 5 goals and assists. That Cornell team can score. I say it every time we talk about Cornell. I didn't catch the beginning of the game. I believe Cornell switched goalies. Am I correct there?
I actually didn't. I caught just the second half. I didn't even notice.
I'm like 99% sure.
It looks like. I'm gonna go if when I look at this, that the guy that let up 14 goals and had 6 saves, I think he's the one that probably got benched.
That is for sure the guy got benched. That second.
And then I'm gonna say the guy Wyatt Nuss, the guy that had 8 saves and 3 goals against with 73% save percentage, that's the guy that helped them win the game. That's my take.
That's badass as hell. Coming off the bench like that. Cornell may have found a little spark on defense. Specifically, every time I mention Cornell, I mention they can score, but they can't play defense. This kid comes in, and he's just the great wall of China, made some crazy saves in overtime. So shout out Kersey, shout out Cornell. That was one of the most fun games I've seen in a long time, like most excited I've been watching outside of Cabrini. So thank you to those boys.
Yeah, that was – people are calling it the game of the year. I mean, Michael Long was phenomenal. I love watching Hugh Kelleher, just a Long Island football guy who just a downhill dodger. Would love to see him in the pros. I think he's definitely a guy that should get drafted two-way. He's fucking phenomenal.
What year is he?
He's a senior. Yeah, he's a senior. He's fucking great. Michael Long, CJ Kearse, great guys. My guy Staub, the Garden City, 3 turnovers. I thought he had a goal last night. Thought he played very well. I mean, that was more than anything. That was just a very, very fun lacrosse game. It was one of those games you're watching and you're just like, I hope both teams can win.
Yeah, I don't like rooting against Syracuse. I just like feel like Spolina gets so much shit, and like I love being on the other end of that. Like I think he's just nasty and people like complain too much. I like rooting for Syracuse. I like that the Fogo from Cuse, he's the D3 guy, like lights it up every game. Basically, it's hard for me to get hard for me to root against Kearse. And I responsibly bet on DraftKings money line plus 195. So,
yeah, I love Cuse. I think they're actually just one of these teams that you're gonna look at their record. If you're one of those fans that doesn't tune in all the time, like right away, you're gonna just be like, oh, they're not that good. Look at their record. Like, obviously, Notre Dame, blah blah blah, is better. I think their records they're way better than the record shows. I mean, I know they're like top like 5-10 in the country, whatever. I think there might be 4, but they 2 overtime losses now, or 1 overtime, 1 double overtime played. We'll get into that game next. Played kind of close with Notre Dame.
Have they lost with Notre Dame. 3 overtime games? Did they lose to Army in overtime too?
Yes.
That fucking sucks.
Yeah.
So much. Dude, 3 out of 4 losses being in overtime, that's got to be infuriating for the Cuse boys.
Yeah, and Notre Dame, I just think it's just better. I don't know.
I agree. I think we're all –
Syracuse played as best as they could against Notre Dame. It's just like What are we fucking doing? Giving out wins for like moral victories now at Syracuse? If you want a moral victory, like sure, chalk it up as a W. But like Notre Dame fucking owns Syracuse now. The boogeymen, Liam Entman and Pat Cav graduate this year, and I know Syracuse fans have got to be happy, but I think one of the most unsung heroes, one of my favorite players in the country to watch right now, is Christian Mulay. Just an absolute disher. I think he's one of the most unsung heroes, one of the unsung heroes for that Syracuse team. And like obviously you have everybody else that like you know Hiltz, you know Michael Leo, you know Finn Thompson, you know the transfers.
He's the Lehigh. You know,
Yeah. And then, you know, you have Sam English, Jake Stevens. I mean, I really, 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 really like the Syracuse team. Just, like, do I think – yeah, I don't know. I'm talking myself into them a little bit the more I go on with this podcast. I do think they can make a run this year. I think so. I think Spallina's playing off the charts. I think he's finally growing into himself. I think that's a war tons anyone's to grab right now. And I think a dark horse. I saw somebody throw this out there. I completely agree. I'm fine. So happy that people are talking about it. And I'll start the campaign. Liam Entman to Wharton.
I would love to hop on the train. I'll be on it. Fuck it. It's just never gonna happen. It's such bullshit. It's like
it could. It could. Let me lay it out for you.
All
right,
hit me.
If he's the best player on the best team. And he has less than 9 goals against average. And there's a narrative started by people like me and you. Like it's a narrative. Like it's not like Brennan is like a runaway at this point. It's not like Pat Cav is because Pat Cav's role on the team has been like more of a facilitator.
What if Kurse averages 5 a game the rest of the year?
Sure, but like, what if fucking Owen Duffy on UNC who's like averages 5 points?
That's a little different because you've said that UNC is trash this year, and I don't think Cornell's done enough to be trash. They just aren't as good as we thought.
I'm saying like if it's just a numbers game, it's not like there's a one clear like Schellenberg's not a clear person right now. Pat Cav not a clear person. There's no clear.
I agree.
Brandao is like on the outside looking in. You want a dark horse, Liam Entman. If it's the best player, they go back to back. I think that there's a route. I couldn't agree more with that take.
Do you know when the Tourton gets voted on or anything like that? Like
after the championship
the whole season.
It's one of like the, yeah. It's one. I think they take into account the tournament because it's always like I think Steele Stanwyck basically won it because of the tournament.
Well then. Really yeah, I mean, I agree. I think a goal. I think everything you said. If he averages the low goals, they win. He's again the best player on the best team. If Notre Dame goes back to back, what about if he does all that and they don't go back to back? Is it considered washed, or does he have to win the Natty again?
I think he has to win the Natty.
Okay. My issue here is I think goalies get treated like if you look at the NFL, like star receivers and running backs, and that the attackmen are quarterbacks. When was the last time a midfielder won it? Probably fucking – I think I saw something like absurd about like 12 of the last 14, or maybe it was the last 12 out of 12.
Yeah, because I mean like – that's it. I mean, I literally don't know. This is insane. Max Siebold.
What's up? How long ago was that?
Max – 2009, Cornell.
That's so long ago. It's dead. If a midfielder can't get it and a defenseman can't get it, I think it's almost harder for a goalie to get it because like goalies just don't get their flower.
4 midfielders won in the first 10 years. So are midfielders basically just running backs?
Yes, dude. We should. That's a great narrative to push.
Midfielders yeah, I think
all the dirty work and just.
Yeah, and like now, like D middies are like stealing midfielder shine.
Yeah,
just like the third down running back stealing the running back shine.
Yeah, I would say D middies get more love than offensive middies without a doubt. D middie is also, I will say, it's like
it's the hardest position.
Yeah, 100%. But it's the one position on the field where your job is just like get beat, but like get beat here, like to these spots on the field, so like we can give you raised five. But
yes,
then
that's a small part of it.
But then the elite guys, like they'll lock your fucking shit up. And it's like, dude, when you have a guy in your team that you don't need to slide to as a shorty, it's like adding a fifth pole.
Yeah, that's shout out Cabrini. Shout out Dayton. But I mean, yeah, if you're looking at like not Division One short 60 middies, you could like count on like exactly what you said. Like you might take a less athletic guy that's a short 60 middie for like a D3 program, D2, whatever, and like all right, get beat here. But like when you see some, of these short 60 middies, like I just looked up, he's had a pro day today. Trevor Yabo Cody, who played for like he's a Garden City kid, played at Brown. It's like he'd be up all the way at the fucking midfield line on the guy's hip, not get beat. Nobody had a fucking slide. It's like Jesus Christ. And just retired Warner. Like it's the same thing. Like you didn't have to think about sliding to him. It's like that's insane to me. And like the calls, turnovers, and just the body positioning. I think short 60 midi for my.
I agree. And let's get one thing clear. There'll be no short stick slander, D midi short slander anywhere around this podcast. You're not allowed to pick any quotes, anything. We are like the biggest short stick guys going here.
Dude, I've played every single position. Every single position. Goalie, LSM, midfield, defense. The only one I wrote, just attack, I never played. Short stick D midi was by far the hardest position. By far.
I've never played any of those, but just from playing and watching a lot of lacrosse.
Dude, like even in club, like if we needed a short 60 midi, like I would have the long pole. Or even like senior year of high school before I got kicked off, like I'd play a little bit short 60 midi. And it was like going from the pole, which you have is 6 feet, to going to a regular, I always say it's easier if you go from short stick D midi to then being like, all right, I'm gonna grab a pole. Cause it's like you're like, holy shit, I have this. Where it's like when you get it taken away from you, like, holy shit, I don't have that. It's just too, I don't know. I always like when you see like I know some kids that like picked up a pole later in life, I'm like, good thinking. You don't want to be the guy that loses the pole.
Yeah. My D3 and D1 friends, acquaintances. Are all the D middies are by far the most athletic. Like they're all the best.
Oh
like,
yeah, dude.
Athletic. And like you always think like you always say the joke like, oh, like you're like an offensive guy that can't shoot. It's like, dude, like it might be kind of true they don't have the best shot, but like they're also just like they're never like skinny like outcast dudes. They're fast, strong sickos, and I think that maybe they do. I don't know who deserves more shine. Them or I think the D middies have the proper amount of shine.
And let me say this, and also I'll go off this. Also, a lot of the midfielders now, like offensively, like, yeah, there's some game changers in my head. Like, you know, especially at the pro level. But some midfielders, like you could just be like, if you're like not the top midfielder on your team or like top two, right? Like you're like the third, second line midfielder or whatever. Sometimes your job is just to draw the defense, to draw the slide. Like you're like, I just got to split. Like, it's not even like you're like known for having your shot. It's just like start strong. The offense, get it. Yeah, just start getting them moving. Like, so it's almost to some extent like if I'm Bubba Fairman, right? And you know he played like he was the number one recruit. What if that was just his role at Maryland? Or it's like, or you could go be a badass motherfucker on the short stick D midi line and just be a fucking hoss. I'm like, make me a fucking hoss. I think that's way cooler than me to be like, oh, I'm an offensive midi. Like, I just have to like draw the slide. Like, fuck that. Like, if I'm on the top dog, who's like ripping it, like left to right split. Like, fuck that. I want to be like the dog.
Dude, D middies are also just like you said, they're dogs. Like, you play so much fucking more. I feel like as a top one or two D midi than you do because even the top three middies, offensive middies, you're going to come out at least a few times a game. And, like, that's not even if you're not tired. Like, you're going to rotate. D middies don't rotate unless they're, like, fucking dying. Like, you're going to put your best two D middies out there every chance you get. You'll have a third ready to go, but it's not like you're running two D mids. In most teams, it's, like, usually a three-man, if not, like, two-man, and then the other ready.
Yeah, and like, Maryland infamously, like, has, like – Maryland's like the like one that always comes to mind, like where they just like infamously have like five guys ready to go, and you're like, you know, their undefeated season the other year, like year, it's like all like I think I want to say four on PLL rosters right now, like that's Higgins, crazy. Alex Smith, Bubba, DeMeo.
Bubba's such a hack. Mac D Mitty too, because he was so good at offense.
Yeah, there, I feel like I'm forgetting one.
He might be one of the most skilled D Mitties, I think, of the Sicko bunch. Because Bubba Fairman was like, he was obviously really fucking good for a reason. I was like, for him to play D Mitties, one, a testament to him being like, yeah, like I want to be a dog. And two, yeah, it's like when he gets the ball, you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, I mean, he's just like, he's your classic two-way midi at this point. Like, he's perfect for the PLL game. That's why, like, a lot of these kids, if they want to go pro, like, being good at defense, being good, like,
yeah,
the like the Water Dogs carry four or five short 60 midis. So, I mean, being good, yeah. So just then staying on the field obviously does you more.
Just out of curiosity, Dukes, you got kicked off your lacrosse team. Is that an off the like podcast thing we talk about, or you kind of glazed over that?
I think I've talked about it before. So
okay,
we don't like
we don't need to dive in. I just like you said it, and I was like, I didn't know you got kicked off your team. Like you couldn't play anymore. Are you still? Are you able to go back and watch games, or what's the deal there?
Yeah. We were playing like Bridgewater Road, and like some of us was like 18 dumb, like smoked like carts and. Yeah, a couple of us got kicked off like pretty early into the season. So that kind of ended my lacrosse
career.
Yeah.
Until you back up.
Yeah, until I did club. But like, yeah, I didn't like just stupid mistake, learn from it. It was like awful. But yeah, we don't really have to dive into that.
You know, all the best players get in a wee bit of trouble every now and then, including Ness.
Yeah. All right, so going off the Syracuse thing, on another note, going off the Syracuse loss, yeah, they lost to Notre Dame, which we kind of touched on. But let's talk about this. We're talking about UNC, freshly on the hot seat. Owen Duffy's playing well, young team. They lose 13-12 to Army. What are your thoughts on in this situation that's brewing? Like, are we ready to say like, I don't know.
I can't call for his head. I feel like there's got to be, we have to be yin and yang here. I can't just coattail everything Dukes does. Again, I ride 90%, but this is going to fall into my 10. I think he's going to stay. And, you know, I might even start being a guy to push that he should stay. That team's young. Don't blow it up yet. I think they're underperforming at the senior levels, whether it's grads, transfers, seniors, juniors. I think they have some really special freshmen. I think you give the head coach at least 1 to 2 more years. If they underperform, you got to bring in a new guy for those guys, senior, junior or senior class. So I'm officially on the UNC one more. However, they're playing like donkey shit, and Army is just a team you can't – let's stay in the game. They're going to sneak away wins. Shout the troops. So UNC, you keep getting kind of rolled, but I'm not going to say to fire coach. Dukes might. I'm not.
Yeah, I don't know necessarily if Army's that good right now. I mean, they're winning, which you'd rather win than lose. But
they get by.
Yeah, they can play. They can win some games. I just don't know if there's like dominant as like the number one team or the chatter that was coming into the season. Yeah. North Carolina. Yeah, I'm definitely still on freshy, like not great. Back to back losses, High Point Army wins. Your wins are Mercer, Fairfield, a great Penn win, and you got Hofstra, Wagner, Stony Brook.
How many losses are tacked on there?
6-4. One good win against Penn. How do you finish the year?
Let me tell you.
At Virginia versus Cuse, at Notre Dame versus Duke. And the fucking people online, they're trying to tell me that, like, UNC is some piss-poor program that, like, he had to build up from the dirt. Was UNC fighting for titles, like, right before Breschi got there? No. How, like, we're acting like he built up fucking Clemson from zero to the fucking, like, national championship status. Like, they're acting like he's Dabo Sweeney. Like, this is ridiculous to act like UNC some piss-poor program from, like, the poor ACC that, like, was so hard to recruit to. It must be so goddamn easy to recruit to the ACC. Like, at some point, it's just, like, the coaching is just not as good. The X factor is it's not the talent, it's the coaching. Yeah. Tell me I'm wrong. It's Corrigan's a better coach. Danowski's a better coach.
Dukes.
Lawrence is a better coach.
I'm with you on a lot of your points. I just have to stand where I stand. But I just think it's funny your accuracy and your passion when you talk about the UNC program is funny.
This isn't like a personal thing. This is purely just me being like, I'm mad for the kids. I'm upset for the kids. I'm not saying that they're getting a fair shake. Like, this isn't like me being like, I'm right, you're wrong. Like, I think they suck. I think the game passed him by.
I'm mad for the kids. Yeah, we'll sell those to UNC lacrosse pissed off alums.
I bet you they fucking hate this take. They're like, he doesn't know ball. I mean, they won national championships with them. They went to Final Fours with them. What's he done since? Final Four exit in 2021? Like, good year in 2020 where he brought back everybody in 2021? Ass.
Yeah.
All right. Penn State choked this one away. Maryland beat them 13-11. I saw the goalie, Frackian, like, snap the cross over his head. Tough one. I watched this one after the basketball games. Thought Penn State had that locked up, but Maryland had a hell of a fourth quarter.
Yeah, can't let Maryland get on any bit of a run. They're way too good of a team. Do you think it's funny the goalie breaking a stick? Something I totally would have done. Respect to that guy. He's nasty. Still in on Penn State. I mean, that's their first loss in what, like 2 months?
Yeah, since the first week. So, like, yeah, not out on Penn State. I think that was a great win for Maryland. I think that, like, was much needed, to be honest, because, we talked about, just, like, it's coming down. Like, so there's a small margin of error at this point. Not as much.
Got word from a Water Dogs player. Quote, we're super pumped to have Coach T. They knew about 3 minutes into the interview that he was going to be the guy.
Dope. Heard it here first. Crease Dive exclusive.
Breaking news from the Crease Dive desk of Nestler and Dukes.
All right. Let me see what other games we're going to talk about here. Yeah, I thought Virginia Harvard was a class. I thought Harvard hung in there. Looked like an awesome environment. Obviously, Virginia got it done at the end. Matthew Nunes had a hell of a game. Touched on that. Penn. How about Cornell? I missed this game. I saw the box score, but how about Penn or Cornell going to two double overtime games, like basically back to back?
Ooh, I just noticed that. I'm looking at it right here. That's funny.
Yeah, I didn't catch that game. I'm sure if somebody watched it though, they would tell you that it was fun.
Yeah. The goalies, by the way, the kid who started.
Oh, I saw it. Okay. Yeah, the Penn kid agreed with Evan Malloy. The Penn kid celebration was so ass.
What did he do?
Just ran. Like, I hate the run. And like,
what about the Kirstie run to your goalie?
I like that.
The dead sprint to your tendy dog. Then like the dog piles on him.
Yeah, I respect that.
Yeah, I like that. But the Cornell goalie, they've been flip flopping. So the kid who came in the second half against Cuse actually was their starter earlier in the year. Had been taken out of a couple games. I guess they didn't start him against Cuse. They brought him back in, and he's the hero. So damn, shout out to that really guy.
Yeah, that's a cool story.
That's badass as hell.
Damn, that's really cool. All right, let's. You want to do fuck, marry, kill? I know you had this. You wanted to do something with this, so you want to go first?
Yeah. This is second edition of fuck, marry, kill on the Crease Dive. This one's specific for Dukes. You can spin zone it to yourselves, dudes. You got to fuck, marry, kill. Garden City lacrosse program, club lacrosse at the college level, or our beloved Crease Dive. Fuck, marry, kill. Go ahead, Dukes.
Oh, damn. Shit. This is tough. I'd fuck Dayton club program. I'd marry Garden City. I'd kill the crease dive.
Wow. I know why. I knew you were going to say that.
Loyalty runs deep. Loyalty runs deep. You can't forget who built you up. Even Garden City breaking my heart as a little 17-year-old. I mean, you can't.
Yeah.
Got me to where I am today. Look, if the crease dive has to rebrand so I don't seem disloyal.
I love it.
Let's go.
Honorable.
Let's go for you. Fuck, marry, kill. Cabrini. Colin Kirst.
Oh no.
Christian Scarpello.
Oh no, dude, that's fucked. I'm so sorry, Scarp. I mean it, man. I'm so sorry. I'm in your corner, but I have to kill Scarp. I have to. It's the only way. I can't kill Kirsty. I can't kill Cabrini because they're already going to be dead. This question would be a lot easier in 3 months. So I'm going to fuck Cabrini because I know it's never going to last. I can see that in the future. And I'll marry Kirsty. So marry Kirst, fuck Cabrini, and I got to kill Scarp. And that's with all love, Scarp. I apologize.
Hate.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I know.
I think if you had said Chatham instead of Scarp, I would have been in a bad spot.
I was thinking about it, but I want to make it a little bit more personal. So, like, I didn't want Chatham to be mad at you. I wanted somebody personally to be mad at you.
Yeah, now the Chatham head coach is. Hopefully, he'll still let me come through, Scarp. That was good. That was a good one.
All right, we're going to get into the games, kind of get winding down here. Friday night, nothing special. Nothing crazy. Denver will kick the shit out of St. John's. Bunch of mid-majors. Sorry if you're listening, you go to one of these schools and I just said you're not important. I didn't mean that. I just meant you're not important.
No,
yeah. All right, Saturday. Let's dive into this one. I'm excited for a couple of these games. Penn, Yale. Yale's -3. Who you got? Over-under is 25.5. Yeah. I'm thinking Penn in this one. Penn +3.
Penn's. And where's the game at?
Yale.
Okay. If it was at Penn, I would just switch my pick.
Yeah, I think Penn keeps this close. I think Yale's a wagon. I think Brandow's an absolute stud. Impresses me.
I've been higher than Yale, so it is what it is.
Legacy bet here. This is almost like a YDKB bet. North Carolina, Virginia -5.
Oh my God, Duke. You got to put your money where your mouth is responsibly on DraftKings and take Virginia there. Give me UNC to keep it close. A little devil's advocate. I think UNC covered last week. I think they were underdogs.
Yeah, I'm taking Virginia -5. Putting my money where my mouth is.
That's like a set alarm and make sure you get that bet in.
Virginia would own North Carolina when they were good. Now that they're ass, give me Virginia.
Okay.
Ohio State at Maryland. Maryland -4.
Give me Maryland. Why not? With the points.
Give me Ohio State. Why not? With the points.
They're ass.
I tend to agree with you, and I usually fade Ohio State, but in this one, it's like more so like I don't think Maryland's 4 goals better than Ohio State.
That's fair. And anyone from Ohio State who hears this, like, I don't think you're ass. You're just playing like ass.
Again, yeah.
All in the square.
Seems a little personal. I think it's time for Ohio State just to keep it close. They don't have to win. Just keep it close. Providence +4.5 against Villanova. Lock that in for me. We don't even have to talk about it. Lock that in for me.
Just to be clear, Providence play of the weekend last weekend +8.5. Never out. Shout out the Friars. That was badass. I think while we're on it, I think Brown covered for us. So shout out Larkin Kemp.
Yeah, here's some good ones. We got into the heavy ones now. Penn State Hopkins. Hopkins -1.5. Who you got in that one? I love Penn State +1.5. Hopkins. Love Penn State +1.5.
Now this can be personal for this week. I like that.
Love Penn State.
Because you're back on Hopkins, but I know there's some like underlying, like you were out on him for so long. Like, are you really back on Hopkins?
Love Penn State.
I love it. I love it.
Bounce back game. Give me Penn State. Give me Penn fucking State.
Oh, it's at Homewood.
The band's not gonna be playing much. Let me see if just any games I missed without lines. Nope. No New York games. All right. Last game Sunday. Duke, Notre Dame at Duke. Duke +1.5. What's the play?
Responsible nuke on Notre Dame. They win by 4. If they had all spreads on DraftKings, I would bet it.
There's this weird thing that's been happening the last like 2-ish years. Duke always beat Virginia. Wait. Duke always beat Virginia. Virginia always beat Notre Dame. Notre Dame always beat Duke. Now you're telling me that Duke has a worse goalie? Same format of the team. Still got Brower. You still got Dananza. You still got O'Neill. You still got McAdory. Like, I don't think Zawada is like the X factor to like Entenmann. I'm telling you, people think I'm joking when I say this. Duke took all the St. Anthony's kids in this class. Notre Dame took all the Chaminade kids. Entenmann is O'Neill's boogeyman. I know it. It's something that I've held on to for the past 5 years. Give me Notre Dame, nuke.
Love when we're on the same page. Let's go.
Nuke. Anything else you really want to add? Anything in the lacrosse world that I might have missed?
Not much. Cabrini boys, keep fighting. Conference play time. They will roll on everyone. You're still coming to the Salisbury game?
April 26th. Nope.
Friday, nope. You need a drink.
Nope. I will not be there no matter what.
Then you're coming. Then you gotta lock in the conference championship game or first round of the NCAAs. You have to lock in one.
Okay, are they gonna be a home game?
The conference championship is definitely at Cabrini.
After April?
It is May 4th.
Let me see when April 4th is.
May 4th.
Saturday. I might be away, but if I'm not, I will 100% be there. When's the first round of the NCAAs?
May 11th, but that one we might have to travel for. Probably down to Salisbury.
I could be there. I could maybe be there.
I need you. I need you for one of those.
All right. I'll try to be there.
All right.
I'm not going April 26th.
That's really it for me. If we want to wrap it up, I can bang out a curse of the week.
Yeah, wait. I wanted to just talk. I wanted to hit something that – oh, just the Cam Spencer talk. I mean, it's a classic. It's a classic time of year where I should have hit you with one of the – we should have talked about this. The chatter in the NCAA tournament about like the like, oh, did you know that Cam Spencer's brother actually was won the Heisman of lacrosse? That chatter is so fucking nauseating. If you're watching the Final Four this weekend and somebody brings up that, like, Cam Spencer played lacrosse, get the stiffest drink you can and chug it. And just keep chugging it. And just keep chugging it. And just keep chugging it. I'll put out a fake line, it's -1,000. But now to end the show with the curse of the week.
Yeah, baby. We're back. Curse of the Week. Presented by the Crease Dive. Brought to you by Universal Lacrosse. Get your shirts. Be the best. Here we go. This week's honorable mention. We're keeping it easy. Matthew Nunes. I mean, he had the rare triple save. Whoa. Rare triple save. Goalie game-winning goal. So shout out to Virginia. Tendi, A lot of curse of the weeks out of Virginia boys recently. So those boys are feeling it. Still the fake Cavaliers, real Cavaliers. Another honorable mention. We got Wyatt Nost, the Maryland keeper, comes in and plays hero ball, goes like 76%. Cornell comes roaring back, beats Cuse. Shout out Kirstie for the game-winning goal. And he just brought back Mr. Nost, Tendy from Cornell, second half Tendy, brings back his first ever honorable mention, curse of the week. This is a long one. Last honorable mention, Jake Pizzino, however you say your name, the Albany long stick midi. Can't get you off my timeline. All he does is score goals. Scored from like 40 yards out this weekend, Dukes. I'm not sure if you saw it. It was a piss missile. Didn't change planes for a second. Honorable mention, curse of the week. And for this week's winner, let's wrap it up. CJ cursed. Let's go. He brings back another official curse of the week. I got your extra small here, CJ. We got every size in the books. Hit the weight room. Great win. Way to go get your goalie. Watch out for Cornell. If they can lock it in on D, that's a team you're going to see making a run the tournament. Congratulations. Curse of the week. I love the crease dive. Dukes is coming to a Cabrini game. This place rules. Lacrosse podcast. That's a wrap. Woo!
All right, follow us everywhere on social. Subscribe, like, follow, do all that jazz. We'd really appreciate it. And we'll see you next time. Thanks guys for tuning in. Love you guys.